So this is the official TreeSet statement. This will also be emailed out to the press, whose emails that I have, and to the TreeSet support list for any of you who want a copy of it. Again, I'm Jennifer Charles. I've been the TreeSet media support person. Over 400 days ago, a handful of activists climbed up into the trees on Science Hill as a symbol of resistance to the university's plans to destroy 120 acres of campus forest. For the past 13 months, the TreeSet has drawn attention to UCSC's reckless plan to develop Upper Campus without regard for the welfare of one of Santa Cruz's last wild ecosystems. At approximately 8 a.m. this morning, the TreeSet drew to a close as police seized control of Science Hill, arresting one TreeSetter. Later, a tree-cutting service hired by the university cut down a grove of 100-year-old redwood trees to make way for construction of a new bioscience building. The three clusters of redwoods, which have now been clear-cut, were inhabited since November 7, 2007, when over 500 students, alumni, and community members rallied in opposition to the university's long-range development plan. The TreeSet and the university entered mediation to find a solution to this conflict, but the university was unwilling to modify any of their plans despite the devastating effect that upper campus development will have on the Santa Cruz ecosystem. Precious watershed regions, unique manzanita groves, and 100-year-old redwood forests will be destroyed by the university's development of the wildlands just north of campus. The homes of such rare native animals as the burrowing owl and the endangered red-legged frog will be irreparably damaged. The TreeSet tactic was employed due to the university's failure to meaningfully address the concerns of Santa Cruz City and County officials, community members, environmentalists, and UCSC faculty and students. Instead of acting upon the concerns of the thousands of people who have voiced opposition to increased university construction, UCSC has spent tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars to hire riot police to intimidate community members who oppose their plans. The end of the TreeSet is not the end of resistance to the long-range development plan. The determination and integrity that sustained the 13-month occupation will continue to incite action against the long-range development plan. The diverse communities that united to oppose the destruction of Upper Campus are renewed in their commitment to that resistance. On a personal note, I have been involved in this campaign since it began on November 7th, 2007. And I intend on continuing to fight to save Upper Campus through any means necessary. The TreeSet was but one tactic of resistance to this plan, and it's one thing that I have been a part of. And now that the TreeSet is over, beginning Monday at 11 a.m., I will no longer be available for press statements concerning the TreeSet. There will be no more TreeSet. There is no TreeSet group. And so as of 11 a.m. on Monday, I will not be answering questions concerning the TreeSet.
Again, my name is Danny Drake. I'm a longtime TreeSet supporter and was a member of the TreeSet negotiation delegation. I'm going to refer to some notes as I make a personal statement about the TreeSet and our continued resistance. There is no satisfaction for the radical spirit. There is no rest for the revolutionary heart except the collective liberation of the earth and all its inhabitants. But there are moments of courage, of camaraderie, of inspiration. There are moments of ecstasy, and in these moments, there are glimpses of what is possible. The past 13 months was a series of these moments, and through our collective experiences, the possibilities are clearer than ever. they're closer than ever. I am forever changed by the Treesit. I am a truer friend, a more devoted lover, a more skilled organizer, and a stronger person. I will never waver in my defense of the Earth as long as I live, and when I die, my ample body will continue to nourish the plants and animals I love. The Treesit was one tactic. Now we will take what we have learned and all that we have accomplished to stoke the flames of resistance to the UC and their reprehensible expansion plans. We will be tireless. We will be creative. We will be proud. We have only begun to fight. UCSC, you are warned. No force you can muster will ever overcome the ferocity of wild creatures defending their homes.
Check him out. So again, my name is Sorrel. I spent over a month living in the trees here on campus. While I was in the trees, I'd often talk to people, and they'd ask me various questions, you know, lots of them regarding like how I would go to the bathroom. But people would also ask me questions about like why I was up there. And I think one of the last things Danny said is really true for me, and it's become more and more true the longer this has gone on, which is this is me defending my home. This is where we all live. And we have a very real connection to this land. And for me, that's just really personal and inspires me and fuels everything I do. People would also ask me, why would I come down? Or what would it take to get me to come down? I often didn't really have an answer to that. Generally, I wanted to answer with a question, which is, what would it take for you to come up here? What would it take to get you to fight for your homes? But I also have an answer, and the reason I would come down is to continue the fight, to save Upper Campus, to save that forest, to save this place, which is my home. And I'll do anything necessary to do that. And all I can hope for is every single one of you here, and any others of you, will join that fight, and you'll struggle to save your homes as well. Cheers.
Okay. Sorry. So we'll take a few questions.
If y'all want.
If anyone has any.
Around
9 a.m. this morning, the last person came down.
Okay, before he, who, and when did you leave?
Say that again?
Before this morning, when did the rest of you leave?
Since mediation ended, there's been a slow process of getting things that we wanted to keep out of the trees. And mediation ended for us. We knew that mediation was ending last Monday evening. So since then, there's been a vacation, the process of vacating the trees.
Question.
There was a grain question over here. Sorry, buddy. Grain first.
Did you get anything out of the negotiation? Anything positive for your side?
The university, in my opinion, used the mediation process as a tactic to intimidate us to come out of the trees through the coercive implications that we would be forcibly removed. I personally got something positive out of the mediation process in that I had the opportunity to work with a group of brilliant, dedicated, amazing individuals. But in terms of this campaign, the mediation process was a bad faith farce on the part of UCSD administration.
So I guess my question continues along the same lines. I know that one of the terms of the Treesit was to put permanent and long-term protections on the Upper Campus Forest. How seriously did the university consider that?
The university didn't even respond to our issues about Upper Campus whatsoever. They the only thing that the university was willing to offer us in the mediation process was to not arrest us if we came down on our own. Which, like, who cares?
Negotiation of a firm for Robert.
Yeah.
Were they sitting down there with their saws when the last person came down?
I don't know. I have not yet spoken to the last person who came down because he was taken to jail. He has since then been bailed out and will, I believe, he's facing charges of violation of court order, trespassing, and apparently disturbing the peace. I'm pretty sure he wasn't the one with a chainsaw, so I don't know exactly what that means. Yeah.
So the arrest by the campus has been categorized as a voluntary thing. I mean, what would you guys categorize what transpired this morning?
An arrest is never a voluntary thing. An arrest is always what happens when you live in a police state. So I don't think that it is true that the person came down voluntarily. Nobody ever really, really wants to be arrested. What people want to do is to make a difference in this world and to fight the oppression that exists. And what he wanted to do was to fight to save Upper Campus and not really get arrested. Other people were not in the trees because we did not want there to be massive arrest situation. Because we want to use our resources, our bodies, our money, and our energy to continue this fight, not to deal with the legal process.
Following up on that, the trees are being cut as we speak. Is there a sense of, I don't get the sense of defeat, but is there a sense of defeat that the trees are, I mean, the whole point was to prevent these trees being cut. Sort of, I guess, Zora, what's your feeling now with knowing that you sacrificed all the time and what you were up there to protest?
I guess I wouldn't categorize the time I spent up there as a sacrifice. I mean, it was a beautiful time for me, right? I got to become in greater relationship with my community, both the people here and also the land and those trees that are now dead. Make no mistake, they were killed today. And so that was never a sacrifice or a waste for me in the slightest. And although I feel sad and I mourn their passing and I mourn what the UC seems to want to do today, I'm buoyed up by a sense of strength that, like, all my community is here and that I know this fight will continue. It wasn't, the struggle with the tree set was not just to save those specific trees, but to save Upper Campus as well. And like in any battle, there have now been casualties, but hopefully we'll win in the end.
What made you decide to go ahead and come down now as opposed to waiting until police actually confront you in the trees, like what happened?
As Jen already said, the tree sit is one tactic in an ongoing campaign to stop UCSC expansion and the destruction of a delicate and unique ecosystem in Upper Campus. And it was a tactical decision to allocate our resources to the continued fight rather than to allow ourselves to be shackled by unnecessary state violence and state repression.
I also want to say in response to that when talking about what to do in case of extraction, we did think about what happened in Berkeley. And what we saw happening in Berkeley was that a tree sit company that had no safety regulations whatsoever put people's lives in danger in Berkeley. They cut the lines that people were standing on. They poked at people with pole saws. I also heard that they sexually harassed female tree sitters. We did not want to create that unsafe of a situation for people here because we were dealing with more trees that are taller and in a parking lot. And I was very concerned, and knowing that the university would probably hire the same company that did the extraction in Berkeley, I was very concerned about the safety of people in our trees because of that.
Thank you.
The way that the extraction has played out is an illustration of some of the issues at the core of the conflict between the community and UCSC, whereas we value life and freedom and resistance and community, they value profit and destruction. And those values are represented in our respective decisions and our continued behavior as the LRDP will continue to unfold.
Okay, I've lost track of who else had their hands up, so we're gonna go this way. So if you had a question.
We have one.
Okay, well, let's start here and then we'll keep going this way.
This morning the Sentinel reported that the Teresa support had waned in the 13 months of the tree sit. But I was hoping maybe you guys would talk about some of the activities that came out of it, like the forest walks and stuff that I heard about. Some of the really positive things that weren't actually related to the tree sit that came out of the resistance.
Well, I think that a lot of those things came out of a much larger movement than just the tree sit, but that there was a large movement in opposition to the university's plans. And my favorite thing that came out of it was the forest walks. And those will be continuing for as long as they can, for as long as Upper Campus is a place that is accessible to people. There will be forest walks there. I think that, the tree sit was really successful in some things, which is about opening up this discussion about what happens to campus growth from here on out. If any of you remember what the atmosphere was like on campus before this, most students hadn't even heard of the LRDP. There was no talk about it. There was no discussion about what direction we should be headed with campus growth. It was all sort of a done deal. And the TreeSit, whether you liked it or you hated it, you talked about it. And I saw that happen all over campus. Even this last quarter, there were students who were calling me because they were doing research papers on campus growth and the TreeSit. So we've been able to accomplish a lot, and that's just with one tactic that's been going on for the last, year and a month. And there's a lot more tactics to come.
Can I also respond to part of that? Is that, I don't know, I mean, I was in the trees shortly after they first, the TreeSit started originally. And, I know it doesn't look like an autonomous zone hasn't been there for a long time and, that kind of support. But over the last little while, when I've been there most recently, I don't know, especially on the weekends, not just students, but, students with their families, parents, and, even small kids would come by and, be really supportive and send up food and water and little chocolates and coffee and all sorts of good things, And, that was amazing. So I think a lot of the support that's been there lately has also been more invisible. It hasn't looked like, just this outright support. It's lots of little things. There was somebody who bring me cookies almost every day. It was genius. It was really, really great. So I think there's been lots of little things like that, lots of support, and I would talk to so many people every day. And I never once heard anyone say, oh, you shouldn't be up there. This is terrible. Everyone who ever spoke to me was supportive and kind. And that's something that I think I learned. So I think support is actually really continuing pretty strongly.
I also just want to say that when I sent out an email this morning about the end of the TreeSit, this is especially for people who have been involved in the TreeSit for a long time, I received an email from a bus driver who every single time he passed the TreeSit would honk his horn three times.
Yeah.
I love that guy, man. It was so awesome to know who that guy really was. And he wanted me to tell everybody that he was totally inspired by the TreeSit and that he loves what we've been doing and that he totally supports us in the future.
From my perspective, the TreeSit also had a positive impact on all forms of activism in Santa Cruz and even beyond our community. November 7th and the following 13 months were people's first opportunities in some cases to participate in direct action, to stand strong in the face of state repression and police brutality, and to see modeled for them what a dedicated community of people can accomplish.
Do you know if at this time the university has any plans to develop campus further on existing redwood habitat other than that one area?
The university will never be exactly very clear about what their plans are for specifically the trailer park area and the area surrounding that. What they will say is it's not on our 5-year plan or things like that. But they refuse to take it off the table, and they refuse to do the stewardship and work that needs to be done to keep Upper Campus a viable ecosystem.
You guys have kind of hinted at like future tactics and protests, so I was curious if you guys are willing to talk about what that would entail.
I think that that'll entail whatever people make that entail. Like, as a TreeSit group, we have never been a membership-based group. We've always been a nebulous group, and the thing that united us was the TreeSit as a tactic. So without the TreeSit, what that means is that we will all be doing things as individuals and working with people that we want to work with. That's the organization model that we have used for the TreeSit, and that's the organizational model that I'll continue to operate under, and I guess other people as individuals.
Quick question. In the mediation, what exactly did you guys demand of the university, and what are they counter with? Is it just for that they wouldn't arrest you? Can you just talk about a little bit about the negotiation a little bit?
Sorry. While they talk,
it was a confidential process, so we have to make sure how much we can talk about.
While they talk as well, I mean, I'd also like to say, like, as far as what tactics will happen next, I mean, again, I would like to do that great conversational jujitsu thing with you, and I'd say to you, like, what are you willing to do in the future? And, like, to consider that, you know, maybe you'll tell us what you think that you're willing to do, and I hope that you'll do something.
We brought 5 areas of concern to the mediation process, which were legal issues, the trailer park, animal torture on campus, ecology in Upper Campus, and student enrollment. The university did not make any significant or acceptable offers on any of those 5 issues, and that is all the comments that we can make or will make about the negotiation process. That's all the comment that we're going to make about the negotiation process.
You guys think this is an effective way for activists to spend time and resources?
A TreeSit? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, a TreeSit.
Clearly. Clearly we think so.
Can you kind of talk about how effective?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that you're here right now means that it was effective. And I think the fact that, like, 500 people came out on November 7, 2007 means that it was effective. And the fact that even during the summer, when there was nobody on campus, we still had at least 30 people at TreeSit gatherings means it was effective. I think that even the fact that people who might not have been that excited about the TreeSit itself started questioning whether or not we should be building an Upper Campus or whether or not there's room for 4,500 new students in this town means it was effective.
Yeah.
Woo!
Okay, we have 3 minutes left for questions.
Anybody?
Yeah, that shut you down, didn't it? You didn't like that. Yeah.
Was the problem with the long-range development plan was that they would need to put a third exit in for fire service. Do you have any plans to use that as a tactic to prevent further development?
Well, I can't comment on the intentions of a divergent set of communities, and I'm not willing to comment on any of my plans for the future at this time.
Okay, anything else? All right. Wow.
If the trees could speak, what would they say? In your words.
I try not to speak for other living beings, but if somebody else wants to take a crack at that.
I mean this in all seriousness. Too.
I know.
You know, because we speak for the trees. Maybe
if
they were alive.
Well, right now, some of those trees wouldn't speak at all because they're dead, unfortunately, as of this morning.
They don't die like that.
Did I swim
I would say that the trees do speak, and it's our collective responsibility to learn how to listen to what they're already saying.
I would like to say something just to wrap up about redwoods. And about what an amazing living being redwoods are. I find a lot of inspiration in redwood trees because of the way that they grow, the way that even after they're cut down, the roots of them sprout up new shoots. The way that how even when they try to pave over or cement over a place, as you know, the redwood roots break up that cement and I just want to leave everyone with that image. And an image that I will always take away from the tree sit is that while we had the ground encampment, there was a hole in the parking lot, a hole in the pavement where the dirt showed through, and somebody planted a baby redwood there. And I'd just like to leave everybody with that.
Thank you.